Welcome to the Personal Finance Professional Podcast. I'm Christopher Shadforth, Communications Director for the Personal Finance Society. In this episode, I'll be talking to Amanda Knight and Vanessa Riboloni. In this episode of the podcast, we're discussing the Personal Finance Society's new Proficiency Plus diagnostic tool. I'm joined by Amanda Knight, CEO of Cognisco, and Vanessa Riboloni, Professional Capabilities Manager for the Chartered Insurance Institute. Here's my conversation with Amanda and Vanessa. Hello to you both, and thank you very much for joining us on today's podcast.
Hi, Chris. Lovely to join.
Hello there. Hi.
Now, the Personal Finance Society has launched a new tool to help advisors meet the FCA's consumer duty regulations. The tool's called Proficiency Plus, Vanessa. But what actually is it?
Yeah, so Proficiency Plus Consumer Duty is a competency diagnostic tool that complements the FCA's expectations on firms by focusing on assessing the behaviors employees need to consistently deliver good customer outcomes. So in practice, what this means is that you can think of it as a behavioral training needs analysis, and it's specifically designed for planners and paraplanners. The way it works is that a firm will engage with a tool and will ask their employees to take an online assessment. The test taker will then receive a personal report which highlights areas of strength and areas for development. So it's really useful to plan CPD based on needs. It provides these insights around where CPD is most needed. And then the employer or training manager will also have access to a team or organizational report, which provides an aggregated review of all the results of all the people that have taken the assessment, pinpointing those areas of the business which might be most vulnerable to conduct risk, to be able to prioritize their investment in learning. So it can be integrated as part of the annual training and competence review, or it can also be used on an ad hoc basis, for example, as part of an onboarding process or a performance review. And just to reiterate that this is not about having knowledge of the duty, what consumer duty is. It's all about really focusing on assessing behaviors to ensure that employees meet the FCA's expectations and to foster a customer-centric culture.
I mean, it really is a sophisticated tool, isn't it, Vanessa? And we'll get into more of the detail of what's going on under the bonnet in a few minutes with Amanda. I mean, you talked about the desire for the FCA to have advisors meeting their regulations, but can you give us a bit more of why this tool is actually going to achieve that aim?
Yeah, definitely. Advisors and paraplanners, I must say. So it's designed for these two roles. So with consumer duty, firms now need to ensure that their employees' behaviors and competence are directly contributing to positive customer outcomes. And I must say that most firms will already be doing the right thing by virtue of their existing culture and building on existing treating customers fairly principles. But what we hear from firms is that many lack the evidence to support this. So this really contributes to a sense of uncertainty around whether they're actually doing the right thing. So this is where Proficiency Plus can really help. So first off, it enables organizations to conduct behavioral training needs analysis, as I said before, helping to figure out where training is most needed to help mitigate against conduct risks. So really providing objective evidence around where to prioritize their investment. It also provides a mechanism to report to the FCA that they're investing in the right skills to meet their expectations. And with the board reporting looming in the horizon at the end of July, this is going to be really useful. And finally, it helps demonstrate return on investment. So as I said before, it can be integrated as part of an annual training competence review. So by doing diagnostic today, you then invest in some learning. In a year's time, you do it again, and you would expect the needle to shift in the right direction, helping really understand and measure what the impact that training is having on people. So this is... In a nutshell, why it's needed.
No, absolutely. I mean, you've set that out very, very clearly. And Amanda, we've the Personal Finance Society has worked with your organisation, Cognisco, to establish this new Proficiency Plus tool. Can you give us a bit of a flavour of how it's so powerful? What's going on that makes it so useful in this particular sphere?
Yes, thank you, Chris. So I guess the power behind the tool comes down to the approach and the methodology that underpins the authoring and validation process. So, for example, we've worked with our occupational psychologists have worked with subject matter experts from the industry to make sure that we build appropriate role-based, contextually relevant scenarios that are based on real work situations. We try to draw out behavioural aspects by aligning them with those work-based situations, but also, more crucially, pull out the misconceptions of known mistakes from the past. So the power behind the tool really comes into all of the work that was put up front to inform what the tool should be. The system then allows us to divide the questions into appropriate roles and bands. And depending on an individual's role, the system will automatically assign the appropriate assessment to them. So there isn't a one size fits all, as Vanessa said previously. We also make sure that the benchmark is appropriate. So the validation process, as we've gone through with various cohorts, various testing, and the validation involved playing back the scenarios to subject matter experts to make sure they're fit for purpose, and then assigning them appropriately according to role is part of the power. Now, obviously, there's algorithms in the system that takes account of individual scores as well as their confidence levels in their answer. And I think that's one of the things that makes this as a powerful predictor of behavior as well, is because we're not only asking people to make some decisions in contextually relevant situations, but how confident are they in their answers? And that's quite a powerful measure combined to give the outcome categories. Now, the outcome categories that the individuals get for each and every topic area that are actually aligned against the professional map, every individual will be assessed on those professional map categories, and the results are given out accordingly. So what we're trying to identify with the tool is those who are consciously competent, but also the opposite of that. So the system will then provide reporting to give people a targeted focus on where their key development areas are.
It absolutely does make sense, Amanda. I think you set that out very, very clearly indeed. And I think one of the reassurances that anybody who's considering taking this tool and using it wants to have is that it has had that validation that you were talking about there. The fact that you have gained input from people within the sector in order to establish the functionality and to make sure that what the tool is churning out in terms of those consciously competent views at the end have some meaning. So could you just give us a little bit more of a flavour of, you know, what that process looked like in terms of the development and who it's been tested with within the sector to establish that validity?
Sure. So we had some workshops initially. Obviously, the framework was already there. The professional map was already in place by the time we were involved. Crucially, what we try to do is pull together subject matter experts from both sides, including our occupational psychologists who are trained in assessment design. But then, you know, we're not the subject matter experts at Cognisco, so we rely on subject matter expertise from CII and others. We have the workshops initially, work on what is it that we can assess, what are our key knowledge goals or learning outcomes that we're trying to address. Can we identify the mistakes of the past? Are there incidents and you know, reporting that can inform some of those known misconceptions? What we try to do in those workshops is pull out things that have gone wrong in the past, identify the mistakes and why they were made so that we can learn from them and assess for them. So the assessment has deliberately plausible incorrect responses. And that is to try and help people make mistakes where it's safe to do so, and remediate those knowledge gaps and identify, you know, potentially erroneous behaviours and help to fix that. So the process really was in order to validate. Once we've got those core things together, we design the scenarios, the assessments, and then we play those back to the focus group and get their input. So minor amendments and tweaks can be made. The next level of the validation is to actually deploy it and pilot it with the target audience themselves, gain feedback from that. Any questions that were misunderstood can be refined and adapted. So we had that process of improving the assessment questions themselves and testing them. And we'll continue to do that. You know, the power of a good tool is not only to make sure it's valid, but then the reliability comes in too. So we'll continually monitor and conduct item analysis as we go to check the reliability is sustained as well.
And I guess you're not starting from square one at Cognisco, because these sorts of approaches, these sorts of ways of thinking through the provision of evidence are also available in other sectors, and you've done work in other sectors. So can you give us an idea of the reporting that is required in other sectors for other regulators, and how this Proficiency Plus tool is similar to those, and perhaps also how it's different?
Sure. As you've already said, we work across sector. So we've worked with the finance sector. We've worked with the CQC for care. So the care sector is quite an interesting one, where we developed assessments for person-centered care. Now, regulatory bodies won't endorse individual tools like ours, but they've certainly been complementary of what we do. For example, in the Food Standards Agency has actually used us in the past to evidence that we weren't going to poison people during the Olympics, for example.
That's always reassuring, isn't it?
So we've used our assessment, and it's been recognised and appreciated by bodies such as the Health and Safety Executive, Ofgem, FSA and CQC. And in the rail sector as well, we align competency management to the Sentinel standards that are required in that sector too. So many and varied, really.
Really, really interesting. Well, thank you very much, Amanda, for that. And in one of your answers there, and I think you also touched on it earlier, Vanessa, you talked about the way in which our professional map, which I think we published back in late 2022, has been integrated into Proficiency Plus. And that's really, really important, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Rather than integrated, I would actually say that it's really built upon it. So the starting point was the professional map. Amanda talked about the assessments as scenarios. And this is probably worth just noting a bit of a clarification here around the types of assessments in the tool are not multiple choice questions that really are aimed to test memory recall. But when we talk about scenarios, we say that they are built around real life work scenarios where people need to make decisions, and they're really targeted to test behavioral aspects. So these scenarios contained in Proficiency Plus have been built around the behaviours required to deliver good customer outcomes. And as a professional body, we've done a lot of research to really understand what these behaviours are, and they have been coded in what we call the professional map. So some of you might know what it is, but for those of you that don't, the professional map is a competency framework that lays out the technical knowledge and expertise and the behaviours that well-rounded professionals need to drive better customer outcomes. And it's based on the principle that a well-rounded professional is that one that not only has that kind of top technical competence, but almost as important or even more important are the behaviours. And the FCA has made a point about this, saying that it really expects a shift in culture and behaviours in the way that organisations approach consumer duty. So what we did, as I said, the professional map is a holistic framework that covers all the professional behaviors that a well-rounded professional needs. But what we did was hone in to specifically those areas of the map that are aligned and that are required to complement the FCA's expectations on firms. These expectations that the FCA has set out revolve around ensuring that every aspect of a business is customer focused, that they offer good value, that the products and services that they design are based on customer needs, that they engage in a timely manner with customers, that they embed a culture of continuous improvement, and that boards and senior managers hold accountability to deliver the best outcomes. But the FCA has left the interpretation and application of these expectations with a degree of freedom. And this is where the professional map and the behaviors in the professional map can really help from the bottom down, focusing on the individual behaviors that professionals are expected to demonstrate. So these behaviors and what the tool assesses are things to do with clear communication, for example, to ensure that customers understand the information they're given to be able to make good financial decisions, adapting to different audiences, having good listening skills. Also aspects to do with insight and problem solving to ensure that employees can critically analyze customer data to identify and resolve problems. Integrity and ethics are key. So this is all about being able to communicate with honesty and transparency with customers, to be aware of conflicts of interest, and to resolve business dilemmas through an ethical lens. Customer focus is a key component also. And this is all about really being able to understand and relate to the needs of different customers, to their concerns. And also, this is also very crucial to help identify those who might be in vulnerable circumstances. Data and technology skills are very important as well. It's not only about knowing how to use them, but also knowing when to use them and the risks that using technologies entail. And finally, adaptability is very important as well. And this is tested within Proficiency Plus, because the needs and expectations of customers will change over time. So firms should be able to adapt and respond to these changes. So while the FCA has set out a number of principles and expectations with a degree of freedom, the PFS has really set out what the standards of behavior are. And these standards of behavior have been coded in the professional map, and they have been used to build the scenarios that are used within Proficiency Plus. It's worth clarifying that the PFS is not a compliance consultant, and we're not trying to do their job. But as a professional membership body, we have an important role in driving best practice, and this is where the tool plays a role.
I mean, what really comes across to me, Vanessa and Amanda, listening to this conversation today, is how much time and effort has gone into the development of this tool. I mean, it is truly significant, isn't it? I mean, if it's been built out of a professional map, which already was an incredibly powerful and sophisticated vehicle, we've had all of Cognisco's experience going into this. We've had the feedback of the practitioners in the marketplace to inform its development. I mean, this is not something that was thrown together overnight, is it? And how long has it been in development now?
So we started the workshops that Amanda were talking about. We started in August, I think. So since August, it's been a process of workshops, iterations, fine-tuning, testing. So yeah, it's been around 6 or 7 months, yes.
I mean, that really is confidence inspiring, I think, for anybody who's considering using this particular tool. And once they've gone through the process, and once they as individuals or the firms with which they're working have identified the areas where they might need further development, I mean, where can those individuals then go and get that training, Vanessa?
So obviously the PFS is committed to supporting members and the wider profession with training and guidance to help firms lead the cultural shift required by the consumer duty. And the PFS offers a range of CPD via regional events, the PFS Power website, where members and non-members can actually access webinars on demand, and the content is updated regularly. And our corporate firms can engage in corporate learning via our Assess product. But probably it's also worth noting that not everyone will require the same level of intervention in terms of filling a knowledge gap. And this is another powerful aspect of the tool, which helps identify those employees that might require other types of interventions, such as coaching, for example. And this is probably something that, Amanda, you can talk a little bit about in terms of how the tool helps identify and help manage capability in a really targeted way, which is at times, yes, it's training and it's technical knowledge and it's behavioral training. But other times, some individuals might have the right competence in place and they just need a confidence boost, for example. How does the tool go about this?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Vanessa, for pointing that out. So the process of going through an assessment like this is quite a learning experience in and of itself. What I mean by that is you go through the process, you're asked to think about certain situations in given contexts. That's the first thing. So you're already thinking about things differently that could play out that you may not have come across before. So if you think about training alone can teach you a certain amount, but when you put that into reality, it's the application of that training that counts. So our scenarios are helping people to think about that. But then when they get their report at the end, the outcome categories that they will have for against each and every one of those topic areas we were talking about from the professional map, they can then clearly see whether they've come out in any of our coloured categories. And what we mean by that is, if you are dark green, you come out with consciously competent, knowledgeable, with high confidence. Now, that's good to go. You can use those people to champion and help others. But some people come out in the light green category where they're demonstrably knowledgeable, but they're not so confident in their knowledge. Now, that's a different conversation. That's a different intervention required. It's no point giving them more training because they already understand it. They just wasn't very confident. Then we've got people who have some knowledge gaps. They're easily identified and they're easily remediated. But the report itself gives you an indication of the questions that you got wrong, but also the rationale behind those questions. So why we're asking the question, why it possibly could be right, wrong. Now, the system doesn't tell them how they got it wrong. It just says, look, you got this one wrong, but here's the rationale for that question. So have a think about it and think about why you might have got that wrong. So even just reviewing the report with the additional feedback that you get becomes a learning tool in its own right. So you don't necessarily have to rely on additional training, but what it does do is help to focus where you might want to focus training and take some ownership as an individual. But the higher level team and group reporting can help those who are responsible for a team or a group of people, be it trainers or managers, and they can help decide whether there's any common trends or common themes that you might want to address collectively as well.
Oh, that's brilliant, Amanda. And I think what this podcast has been a great example is of hopefully convincing those who've got an interest, who might have heard about Proficiency Plus, to actually go and find out a little bit more about it, because it's the sort of tool, I think, that you could, you know, think it is of a particular value. But I think what's been unpacked through the course of this particular discussion is just how much value it could potentially add to advisors and paraplanners and the firms with which they work. So really, really appreciate having the conversation with you both today. Vanessa, I wonder if you could just give us some information about how those individuals who want to find out more about Proficiency Plus can find it.
Yeah, definitely. So anyone interested in getting to know a bit more about Proficiency Plus can go to the PFS website, www.thepfs.org/proficiencyplus. And there you'll have information, there's a video explainer, and you will also be able to register your interest as a business to have a call with our sales team.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, Amanda, for joining me on today's podcast. Really interesting, fascinating to hear the background to the development of this tool.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Personal Finance Professional Podcast. For more podcasts and useful links, visit pfp.thepfs.org/podcasts. Until next time, goodbye.